recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Bechorot, brought to you by Bein Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Chof Gimel, and we are holding on the 8th vein, a third of the way down. So we were in the middle of a fascinating sugya yesterday, and that is the question of whether it is possible to say that something, the case actually was given, was a case of tzir, which is fish brine, it's not shayach to Kabbalat Tumah, that it had been mixed with water where the brine was the roof, and therefore there was no question of it being able to be metame anything else. But the problem was that we learned a little bit of you mustn't use it in a pot to make, let's say, a fish soup or something like that, because then if you add water, it will become rov ma'im, and then matzah min es minay v'neur, and the tuma will come back. And Rav Dimi told Abaye, who was very upset by this ruling, because after all, either tuma is there or tuma isn't there. So if the tuma is batal, how in the world did it come back? This was Abaye's taina. Sorry? No, it's not compared to Abaye is saying a tumah is not something that can be latent. It's either there or it's not there. Once it's on the time, it's gone.
But the whole idea of chozer v'nidah is like we have like
that fine, I'd be able to consider it, says Abaye, when it comes to Isser. But how does it make sense in terms of tumah? And so today, Abaye wants to ask, actually, a number of things on this sheet of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rav Dimi was his great champion vis-a-vis Abaye. But Lamaisam is asking directly back on this assumption that you can't add water to the tzir that had been mavata lamai. Eitzvei. We have a similar situation where we have efer, kasher, meaning efer, of a pora aduma that had been mixed together with regular efer. Somebody burnt a stick. We call other efer, efer mikla. So the halacha is over there. Olchin achar harov letamei. So that if most of it is, in fact, the Efer Para, so then there's the halacha of Hanogea b'mei anida yitma. If that's mixed with water, so then if Rov is Efer Para, it will be Matame, the person who carries it. Now, if it was Ruba Efer Mitla, then it would not be Matame, correct? Taina Zabaye, according to you, I Amrit Tuma Kamanti Ite Dami, if the tumah is there, latent inside, let us go back for a moment, says Abaye, to your case. In your case, where we have the mixture of the tzir and the mayim, you're claiming actually the tumah is there, but there's no way for it to be metame, because after all, its rov is tzir. So whatever you're touching is tzir. So how are you going to be able to touch the tumah? But the moment that you will add water and it becomes rov, then you will be able to touch the mayim. And the mayim is makabel tumah, so therefore the whole thing will be tumah. That was your logic. Now my understanding of the meaning of that logic, says Abaye, is that be'etzem, the tumah is there, but there's no way of contacting it. As soon as you add the more to make it rov, so now we're able to contact it. That was all very nice when you were talking about mayim and tzir. But over here where you're talking about efer parah, if Lamaisa, the tumah, is still there latent in the mixture. So I understand there's no way for me to touch it. Well, why can't I be carrying it? Now you see, we're getting closer to our Mishnah, because this, of course, is what we're going to be getting into. But now we see where we're headed. But in any event, this is the first time that we've looked directly at this issue. So assuming that I am right, you see, I say tumah, if it's bottle, it's bottle. It's not just uncontactable. So if it's bottle, it's not going to be metame, not bemaga, not bemasa. It's not going to be metame at all. But if you're right, and the only issue is that you can't touch it, okay, you can't touch it. But when you carry this mixture of efer mikla and efer para, you still have the tumah of the efer para that's there. Why isn't it metame you bemasa? That's what I don't understand. According to your shita, this makes no sense at all from the entire sugya of the Mishnah and Parah. So according to you, let's see that inside. According to you, I Amrit, Tuma Kamanda Ite Dami. According to you, keeps insisting that actually the tumah is really there. It's just that we can't find it because it's bought. Fine, you don't have to find it. Nihide b'maga lo metameh. Even if you want to say it's not metameh b'maga, but it should still be metameh b'masa. Letame b'masa. So what you're saying, therefore, is clearly proven not to be true by this Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, what do you mean, not true? On the contrary, it's exactly because of that that we find that Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina clarifies the meaning of the Mishnah to mean it's tahar only miletame b'maka. But in fact, it is miletame b'masa. And that is precisely what would be true if I am right, not if what you're right, Abaya. Asks the Gemara, asks Abaya of Amr Chista, nevela b'teila b'shkuta. Because e'efshar l'nevela sh'teyaseh shkuta. It's e'efshar l'shkuta sh'teyaseh nevela is what it should say. Because the truth is the other way around, it is possible. A nevela can become a shkuta. Because once it's masrachat, it loses its tuma. So this is the Gemara speaks out. We don't have to get involved in it here. But the point is, we just had this back in Menachos. So therefore, the nevela will be b'tel b'shkuta. Now, I don't understand how nevela can be b'tel b'shkuta. I mean, I understand that it won't be matami b'maga. See, according to me, it works out fine. Tuma is b'tel and disappears. Thank you. Once it disappears, it won't come back, and it's not latent in there somewhere. So because of that, it won't be matami, not b'maga, not b'masa. But according to you, the tuma doesn't really disappear. It's always latent. The only problem is I can't contact it. The bittul makes it impossible for me to touch it. Fine, don't touch it. Nihide b'magala metame, why isn't it metame b'masa? How does Rav Chista come along and say that nevela will be bato b'shuta? Omar lay, so he told him, oh, you got a big problem. You know why you got a big problem? Because you're learning that that's what Rav Chista said. Now, Rav Chista is an Amora, and he should have, we have a right to say, but an Amora says something, if he didn't explain himself more, such as saying, I mean, of course, only b'maga, not b'masa. If he doesn't explain himself, then he should have explained himself. He must not hold that there's a difference between b'maga and b'masa. But if a Tana would have said this, remember that Tana is very often Mikatsir, and he doesn't have to tell you this. The truth is, we learn this as a Braita set over by Reb Chiya, Anan v'Reb Chiya Matninan La, where Reb Chiya says, Nevela and Shkuter b'telot zo b'zo. And therefore, he didn't have to explain whether he meant b'maga u b'masa, and comes along Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, just like he did on the Mishnah in Parah. And he explains it's only true tahor. Yes, it's tahor in terms of letame b'maga, because you can't contact it. But it's tamei in terms of carrying it, because it's definitely there. And this is exactly what Rabbi Yirmeyah is claiming. Tuma is not really batel in the sense of disappearing. Tuma is batel in the sense of it's not being there physically for me to touch. But Tumas Masa that I don't need to touch, I will certainly be metame in all of these putative bittul of Tuma cases. And so indeed, we're extremely consistent with our argument, Abaya, and it works out perfectly well. Your assumptions that there's no difference between Maga and Masa is wrong. There is a difference. And we agree to that difference. You yourself should have held there is no difference. And you're the one who's wrong, because in fact there is a difference. And now we get to the crucial point. All along, of course, we've been creeping gradually to our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah was exactly around this issue. Remember our Mishnah, which is, V'haditznan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Be'magasa, Sheshafach Araradam, Harezo Tikaver, V'niftara Menabechorah. So what did it say there? That if it miscarries a large piece of blood, then the halacha is that we assume that that is a degenerate blood mixed with other birth materials, and you have to bury it, because it has Kiddushat HaBachor. We thought that we realized it really means you have to bury it because we want to be mifarsim, that this animal already had a firstborn, so as to avoid confusion about why the next one is not a Bachor. And this is definitely a vlad, and paters et min abechora, which would imply that the piece itself is a degenerate nevela, in which case it should be metame. Comes along, we said before, in the Braita Rabbi Chiya, He says, no, it's not metame lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. Now, once again, the problem is, if, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the tumah is latent, even when it's batal, and the only problem of bittul is that it makes it physically not present for us to touch, but the din of the tumah is there, why is it not metame b'masa? So, nihid b'magalo metame. Now I got you, baby. Tetame b'masa. Go ahead. Ishtik. Oh, that shut him up. Ah, that was bad news. What's he going to do now? Whoops. Exactly. And then, in a hesitant little voice, Dilme shine ocha, davila tumas rucha? Maybe the point over here is not that it's not metame because of the bit. Maybe the reason it's not metame is because it's completely degenerate. And remember that nevela is only called a nevela if it's edible. Ah, well, says the Gemara, yes and no. Because remember that we have our famous machloket about what constitutes the degeneracy of a nevela, the stage at which it's considered to be srucha and no longer metame. Since the Torah says, if you have a nevela, what do you do with it? Give it lager asher b'sharecha, or sell it to a goy. So Bar Parda held that what that means is that if this is not edible by ger asher b'sharecha, it's not a nevela at all. In other words, the Torah is being megalit to you. What do I call a nevela? Something that would be edible by ger asher b'sharecha. If, in fact, it's not edible, which is what you're saying, it's no longer metame. So therefore, if you hold a barpada, einichala barpada, who holds the tum'ah chamura, meaning the tum'ah of the nevela b'masa, the Tosfos learns, the tum'ah nevela b'klal, bein b'maga, bein b'masa, that is batal the moment it's no longer edible to a ger. Ad l'ger. Because the Torah said to give it to the ger. If this is unedible, the ger, he can't give it to a ger. And therefore, the pasuk is being megalit, then that's not the nevela that we're referring to. That would explain why, in this case, it's not metame. Lo b'maga v'lo b'masa. I agree. By the way, there's a very strange rashi over here that learns, at least the way Tosis understands him, that tuma kala is a reference to tumat kala ad lekelev, is not a reference to tumat ochlim, which is the way we normally understand it. But the tumat kala is a reference to tumat maga ad lekelev. And that is a little bit weird, why he would say that over here. Some learns he means tumat kala b'maga, meaning tumas ochlim, b'maga, not tumas. Because as Tosis points out, it's the same pasuk that says linim. Nevela Leger. I mean, why would we have a right to be mechalik between Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa in that issue? Okay, this is a side point to us, because it's really not central to the whole issue. If he meant Tumah Kala literally, then in terms of Maga, that would explain why we would have said before that we need to have Bittul. Because the Tumas Maga would have been Tame unless it was bought. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said before, Mishum Bittul Barov Naguba. But again, we're going to get more into the question of Bittul as we're going to Amid Beis. So let's wait for a moment. So if you want to tell me, I'll leave it a bar pada. Okay. Clearly, this piece of blood, it's Varai Lo Chazi Lager. It's obviously so ruach. Nobody, no normal human being is going to eat this stuff. But according to Rabbi Yochanan holds even the Gabi Tumas Kamura, Achadzu V'Achadzu, it's not going to be considered to have lost its Tumas Nevela, unless it can't even be thrown to the dogs, right? So then, Tosfos says, don't think that the Svara is, because it's a perigot trefa, no, there's this lakela, tashlichu noto, which is what strikes you right away. Why is he talking about dogs? He's talking about dogs, Tainus Tosfos, because Izevel was eaten by dogs. So you see that the akhila of a kelev is called akhila. From there we brought a raya that Achilas Kelev is considered Achila Legabe, the din of Pigol. If this Bakshava was here, that's what we raised in Zvach. But it's not because there's a heckish or something which we trade for the veil. It's an interesting Bible. Anyway, so the Kwazan of Velas, we say Yidit. That's what we mean. Rabbi Yochanan to Izevel. Anyway, but according to that, how you good if you hold of Rabbi Yochanan? Not like Bar Parda. How are you going to get out of my kasha? Since over here it's chazia lekela, so then why would it not be matambi b'masa, since according to you it was never bottled? Gosh, that indeed is wrong. Goof. By the way, let's look at that machlok for a minute. Bar Pala Omer, Tuma Kamura Adlager, Vetuma Kala Adlager. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, either way, an avail is metame, even the masa, until it's completely saruach and not even edible by a dog. So my time in the Bar Pala. Bar Pala's logic is very straightforward. It says in the Pasek, Lo tochlu kol nevela, and then it says, La gera asher b'sharecha titen neveachala. So obviously, if you can't give it to the gera asher b'sharecha, then that's not the nevela I've been referring to in the Pasek. Which means, Haru'uya leger kruya nevela. But if it's ena ru'uya leger, ena kruya nevela. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's true, but not where once it became a nevela, then it became sarua. It's only where it started off saruach, meaning at the point that it died, it was already saruach. Let's say that one of its legs had turned gangrenous or something, right? So over there, even though you might call it real akela, it's not going to be b'tamei mimbasa, because it never became something that was ro'ui at all. At that moment, because the moment it became an avela, it was already sarua. But if it was first an avela, why would it lose its tuma? Taina's Rabbi Yochanan. Whereas Bar Pada says, that's crazy. I mean, if it's yisricha mi'ikar, what do I need a pusik for? If it's yisricha mi'ikar, it's bechlal, it's like afra bi'alma. Why would I view it as being an avela? It's afra bi'alma. Okay, Taina, leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. You wouldn't say it's afra bi'alma. Because a lot of things that the Torah is betana, you would think is saruach mikara. Do we say meayin bata mitipas rucha is shichvat zera metame? Yes. So the fact that something is saruach, big deal. But you are making an assumption that the reason that it's metame is because it's really boser, and the boser is. Maybe that's not the point. Maybe we view it as just a thing that's metame. So Mamela Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, I still need a poster to tell me that if it's saruach mikara, it's going to not be matami. But how do I know if it lamaisip, once it got its din of basar? Ah, now, the question is, Rabbi Yochanan seems to contradict himself. Look at this is beautiful. Because the way that this was arranged, it's just so incredible. Because we had gradually approached the Mishnah, right? With the question of, is the tumor really there? Is the shaking mivata the tumor barov? Are you only being mivata the ability to touch the tumor barov? And then that led us into the Bar Pada and Rabbi Yochanan Bar Chor, because it's a complete tangent. As an answer to Rabbi Yirmiyah, well, it's very good. Now we point out, but wait, it was Rabbi Yochanan himself who explained that the reason that our mission is not metame is because Mishum Bitomorov Naguba. And yet Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that if it's Saruach Mi'ikara, it's not metame. So what do you need Bitomorov? Over here, you see how we got to this without even like, it just flows right into it. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So, wasn't Rabbi Yochanan the one who said that if it's a ruach mi'ikara, that it doesn't need bittul barov? So let's take a look at that inside. Tonight, our Mishnah has Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov saying that a behema gasa sheshafach harar adam harezu tikaver v'nifteret min habechora. And remember the Braita, Tani Rabbi Chia, Eina Metama Lo B'Magav Lo B'Masa, and Rabbi Yochanan explained Mishum Bitul Barov Naguba. The question is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why are we talking about Bitul Barov? The whole point should be, typically, the Lo Itchaz Yikla, since over here it is Sarua, and this is the way it came out. It was expelled from the womb Sarua. So then what do I need Bitul Barov for? It's not Metame, that's all. He contradicts himself. It's the very same Rabbi Yochanan. Well, over here, he wouldn't call it Saruach Mikar. Why? Because in its original form, as a part of its mother, had you shechted the mother at that point, before it degenerated, it would have been a kosher piece of meat. Now, it's a nevela like any other nevela. So what's enough to mean it degenerated in the womb? But the point is, it went from being a piece of meat to dying. As a nevela. The fact that now was expelled, it was saruach, doesn't mean it's saruach meikara. The embryo. Was that saruach meikara? Therefore, I view it as any other piece of meat that died, so to speak, and that became saruach. So, answer nam yitzchazi meikara, agav imi. Tzan hatam, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, tzir tahor shenafal letocho mayim kol shehu tameh. Now remember that we started off our whole discussion Uthrab Yirmiya, who said that where you had tzir, you could always, you brought from an Am HaAretz, it's not a problem. You only need to do Hashaka, to a mikveh. And then Meman Efshach. If Ruba is Mayim, there was a problem with Tuma, the mikveh was now Metahiret. If Ruba is tzir, and the mikveh won't be Metahiret, but then anyway it's Batel Barov. The makor of our whole discussion here was Rabbi Yirmiya saying that if you're going to use it in a pot, then you're in trouble. Can't use it in a pot. You can only dip your bread in it. Because if you're going to use it in a pot, you're going to add water. And then you might have Rov Mayim, where originally you had Rov Tzir. So the original water never became tar, it's without Shaka. And now the Tuma in the water is going to be Chazer V'Neor, and it's going to be Metame everything. This is darling, this is not a throw here.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So, this case over here is talking about you bought tzir from an Am HaAretz, and you were metayered in this way. You were mashikit to make sure. So now it's fine, right? And then a little bit of water falls in it. Uh-oh. He's saying that it's tummy. Now, obviously, that is based on the whole point that Rabbi Yirmiyah made, that you could have a chazer v'neyor. You can't be sure if originally that shaka was metayer. So if it wasn't metayer before, you didn't have rov. Now you'll have rov. Now look what Reb Nachman points out. Om Reb Nachman, Om Rav Avavua. You know what this shows you? Zot omeret nechshedu ameharetz la'arev mechza b'tzir. You bought, supposedly, a full tank of gas. Now it turns out, in this case, tzir, this was rocket powered by fission.
Organic fuel.
Right. All right. We use cholent nowadays to power rockets to the moon. But there they had tzir. So now he's claiming, oh, this is 100% beautiful, delicious year. You're claiming kol shehu, a little bit of water, it's already rolled water. So apparently, that means that the Am HaAretz was ready to go up to 50% of water in this year. Ask the Gemara, but why 50%? Why not even a little bit less than 50%? You can't bring a raya that it's 50%. You could say up to, but slightly less than mechza. Because if it's less than mechza, when I add a little bit, it now becomes 50-50. But if I add 50-50, I don't have bittel. For bittel, I need rove. Why here do I need to go the other way? To have the rove that should be the rove that has to be tahor. On the contrary, as long as it's not mechza v'mechza. Ask the Gemara, lomeli mechza. Why do I need that the amaret that we should say is ready to fill up to 50%? And if it's less than 50%, it wouldn't work. Also, it would be the same thing, because put it together, butzer mechza with the additional mashu that fell into it, what do you get? Palga but palga, right? But palga's not bato. Well, he didn't mean 50%. He means up to 50%. Ad mechza. Or you know what? Ibaitema could be he meant literally 50%. And the reason is, because since the whole halach of Tumat Am HaAretz is only a derabbanan, we have no basis for saying this water is tameh. It's tameh because it touched an Am HaAretz. The Am HaAretz is makbet to go to the mikveh, as most amaratzim do, every day, 496 tefillahs, and every day. But Alpha Pekin, we're saying he's tameh. And Lamaisa, the din is that the whole din of Tumas Mashkin is only Durabbanan, which is really a machlokes. We paskin at Tumas Mashkin. Enochinami is Diraita, but Latame Achirim is Durabbanan. So this could be no idea of that, because there's no Israel eating the chulin in the time, the Tumas. Okay, so that's already machlokes Achronim, how to learn this piece. But Lamaisa, Beruba goes Durabbanan. The Rabbanan were only geyser if there was a chashash. That's what Rabbi Nachman was like. If there was a chashash to have rov mayim, then we'll be geyser already that it'll be chazer v'neyor. But if you can't get rov mayim, palga v'palga, we would have already allowed it to remain palga.
So that's why he said.
That's why he said becha. Because palga v'palga, lo gozer v'rabbanan. The Rabbanan wouldn't have been geyser on a tuma, which is only the Rabbanan in the first place. And it's tuma samaritz, which is vayter only the Rabbanan. How much are you going to be machmer already? And now our dear president introduces the next.
Dr. Heleke Mishnah.
Rabban Shimon ben Gabliel Omer, Halokeach Behima, Minika Mina Oveit Kochavim. Oh, so we've been talking about buying animals. And we spoke before about the issue of whether an animal might possibly have lactation prior to birth. Here, the simplest way of understanding the Mishnah is that we know for a fact that this animal was lactating before it had a child. And because of that, the issue about whether lactation per se is a proof that it's already a mevakeret is not nogeas. This is the best way to avoid interrelationship with the sugi before it. Tosus discusses. There's other approaches. And it has, when you say meinika, we mean meinika together with the child. So you buy a pair, mother and nursing child, guaranteed that that nursing child is its own. And enol choshesh, you don't have to worry that shema b'nashal acherati, there's no problem that maybe this is another child, and that since I know it was lactating before, it just happened one of the children ended up, you know, using her as a milk bottle, but it's not really her child. No, we're not chayesh for such a thing. As a matter of fact, if a guy goes into his field, here to his den, pen, and he sees that all of the animals yesterday that were pregnant had delivered overnight, and they're all busily suckling their children, and he sees the ones that are mafkirot or menikot, and the ones that are not mafkirot or menikot, and everybody's perfectly happy, and he thinks to himself, oh my God, what a mess up. Now I don't know which child belongs to which mother. I'm going to have a chashash that all of them are bechors. What am I going to do? No, 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 no. He has no reason to be choshesh. Eino choshesh, shema b'nash hazo, balo etz hazo, or shema b'nash hazo, balo etz hazo. You may not know, but they do. So this is not like these human hospitals where anything can happen. Over here you can rely 100%. This is your baby.
So what are the non-mafkirot or menikot?
Non-mafkirot or menikot, their own second, third, fourth, or fifth child.
The question was, can an animal give milk without having a birth?
So, again, we just said that. Let's talk about the case where we knew that it did. The question over there, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. We said, ain rov behemot menikot for later. Rov, that's what Rabbi Akiva said before. Bisman hazeh, it's done only with hormone injections, but at the time of the Gemara was possible. And remember that we had our own doctor over here who, remember, who said after the war that all the men were lactating because of the, remember the whole mice, it was an amazing story. Anyway.
Wow, like, that our milk isn't real? I mean,
it's what, our milk?
I mean, the stuff
that
we
saw
in the stores
is different.
Oh, no,
it depends.
Yeah,
can be.
Yeah. I just assumed they were all mother cattle.
Fancy English? I thought milk was fancy. I was afraid maybe they wouldn't know what milk was. I said Latin. All right. Omer of Nachman, Mishmei de Rav, says, Rav Nachman, you should know, amazing claw. Rav said that the halacha in this entire parak, every single Mishnah is true, la halacha, unless there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Says Rav Sheshes, the only possible schus one could have when somebody says something as mad as that is that he was half asleep. So I assume that Rav was resting. Amina kinayin v'shochiv Rav. He probably was half asleep at the time that he said that, since it makes absolutely no sense. And Rav doesn't usually say things that don't make sense. So we'll be malamit schus. It happens to be, by the way, that Rav was the one who asered sleeping during the day at all. So he was the one that would sometimes sort of droze off because he didn't allow himself to rest. So therefore, he's also saying something nice about Rav while he's saying this. This must have been one of the moments that Rav had dozed off for a moment. Because what the heck is he talking about? Let's go through the Mishnayot one by one, and I will show you that Rav's statement is off the wall. Hey, tell me which Mishnah he's referring to. The opening Mishnah. The opening Mishnah was the whole machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva about whether chashina latinov, or whether an ain chashina, whether tinov patur, with three possible explanations. But man, it was a heavy-duty machlokas Mishnah, and Rav is saying, well, if there's a machlokas, this rule doesn't apply. Okay, so scratch the first Mishnah. Let's go on to the next Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer b'tol charar adam, right? Problem is, I don't need Rav to tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I mean, that's one of the earliest halachic rules that there are. Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov kavanaki. I need Rav to tell me that. So obviously the halacha is like that Mishnah, okay? Let's go on to the next Mishnah, the one that we just had. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ein Chishin Shema B'Noah Shalacheret, etc., etc. You can absolutely rely that this animal is nursing its own child. Well, it's all very nice if you're naive. But it happens to be that in the Braita very strongly argues against this and says, Mipnei Shi Mirachemet, as we're going to see, animals can be actually played with emotionally to nurse another animal's child. By the way, this even happens interspecies, which is quite amazing. So you can have merachemet between mammals of different species. So what are you telling me? Nobody argues. So it can't be referring to that Mishnah, because somebody argues. So what's it referring to the next Mishnah? Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam, about taking off the hair in order to check the moon. Excuse me, but Rav Paskins, separately, before this rule that we quoted, that Omar Rav, Chodazim Nadi Omar Rav, Hilchasak Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam. Is that the case? So then, maybe he's referring to the next Mishnah. Asar Balmum. Is he talking about whether if it's a Balmum, you take off the Sar? Excuse me, but there's a Beferish Machlokas in the Mishnah. Miflot Poli, Gakavya ben Mahalala, and the Rabbana. So basically, that's it. There are no other Mishnahs in this parak. And therefore, Rav's statement makes no sense. Says the Gemara makes perfectly good sense. As a matter of fact, Rav is coming to teach us a very important din. Rav is coming to tell us that since he expects you to use your brains, and since the only Mishnah in this entire parak that he might have been referring to is this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and since he knows that someone like you will think to himself, but wait, there is a machloket in a braita. He wants you to conclude that a machloket in a braita is not considered to be a machloket on a Mishnah, and that the Mishnah remains lahalacha. Now, is that not an important rule?
In this case?
Tosfos learns in general. He's coming to teach me a general rule of psak. So that's the point. Hakamash malan, the braita la pluktehi. You cannot view a machloket that follows in a braita as being a machloket in the Mishnah, and therefore we can ignore it. But that's how he proved it. Wait, the Gemara is going to be medized. V'kivan d'yomer Rav hilchta b'kulik pirkin bar miplukta. Since Rav himself has said that rule, then why did he need to paskin like Rav Yossi ben Meshulam? How do you explain that? That's still going to be a problem. So Lomali, aha! That's exactly the point. Suppose he would have just said, Hilchata Bekulei Pirkin. And he wouldn't have said, Hilchasek Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam. What would you have assumed? That he's referring to Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam. But not this Mishnah, because this Mishnah is a Plukta. So Rav was actually quite sophisticated. He tells you, Allah Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam. And then he tells you, Hilchasek Bekulei Pirkin. You think to yourself, what is he, crazy? There is no Bekulei Pirkin. Oh, it must be he's telling me that this Mishnah is not considered to be a Machloket because the Machloket's in the Braita. So had he not said, Hilchasek Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam, indeed, Hava Minah Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam Koi, I would have thought that's what he was referring to. And when he says, so why then, as our dear president pointed out, I mean, if all he means is Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam, why does it say Bekula Pirkin? If it's referring to one case, my Kula Pirkin means, because since the Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam talks about two different things, whether you make a place for the kofitz to do the arifa, and whether you move the hair away to see if there's a mum. So he wants to use the word kula pirka to say both things tarta. That's why he needs to say, but maybe I would have thought that a plukta da braita is a plukta. Therefore he needs to tell me, you think you're so smart. Rav has outsmarted you every step of the way. Therefore he needs to tell me, halak Rabbi Yossi. And therefore I think to myself, so then what is he referring to? Lashmi inan, that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel koi. Indeed, when he says kula pirka, he means not only Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam, keep thinking, boys, keep thinking. Ah, it must be that it includes Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But why is it there a machlokas? I'm forced to conclude that braita plukta bebraita lav plukta hi. And tomorrow we shall discover what this braita is that we've been so enamored with. Eifer kasher should. I ask you, says a biator of Dibi about Rabbi Yirmiyah, Iruba Efer Miklahu, it's not Metame. According to you, Tumah is command to ite dame. It's all very nice that Bimagalo Metame, but why not Bimasa? L'tami b'masa. Ayit ma'alam, Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. Indeed, tahor only means b'tami b'maga. But it really is b'tami b'masa. Okay, so what about the case of Rav Chista? Rav Chista, nevela is b'tela b'shkuta. She evshel shkuta shete ase nevela. Neyid b'maga lo metame. Why not b'masa? Oh, Malay, you know what your problem is? You're quoting Rav Chista, and you're worried they should have been more explicit. Anan, b'Rabbi Chiya matnina lo. Tani Rabbi Chiya, nevela v'shkuta, b'telot zo v'zo. And the way we have it, comes along Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, and explains, what did he mean in the Braita? He meant tohor milatami b'maga. But indeed, it is mitami b'masa. Oh, yes, says Abaya. And what are you going to do with our Mishnah? Hadetzan Rabbi Yosef ben Yaakov Omer. And excuse me, Rabbi Chiya, in a braita, says, now I got you. Am I? That will shut you up. Ishtik, it did. Well, maybe, I mean, Enichla Bar Poda, Diomar Tuma Chamura Ad Lager, Vituma Kala Ad Lekelev, Havade Lo Kazi Lager. But what are you going to do, Alibir Rabbi Yochanan? Diomar Achad Zo Ve Achad Zo Ad Lekelev, Hokazi Lekelev. Oy, Bob, oy. Kasha. Gufa. Bar Poda Omar Tuma Chamura Ad Lager, Vituma Kala Ad Lekelev. Rabbi Yochanan Mar Achad Zo Ve Achad Zo Ad Lekelev. My time, Rabbi Poda. So therefore I say only if it's Ruya Lager, Kriya Nevela, Ena Ruya Lager, it's not even Kriya Nevela. And what does Rabbi Yochanan do with that? Vidach, Lamuta Echad Yisricha Meikara, and Barpada, Yisricha Meikara, Lotzricha Kro. What do we need, Lamuta? Afrabiyamu. Now, Tan Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Amir ben Magash Shafach Harara Dan Harezu Tikaver Vinifteret Min Abichora and Tod Rabbi Chiyana Matam Lo B'Magav Lo B'Masa and of all people Rabbi Yochanan says Mishum Bito Barov Nagubah. How do you explain that? My Ari Mishum Bito Barov Tepekli Deloit Chazik Lal. Not true. This Harara, while it was a viable embryo, was his Chazim Ikora Agavime. Tanata, Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov Amir, Tzir Tahor, that you had been Meshik, Ben Mikvah, minute that Nafalatoch of Mayan Kosher told Tame, Om Reb Nachman Amar Abba Bavua, Zot Omeret, make sure you buy your gasoline from a kosher gas station. Because next to Rame Oretz, La'arev Mechza, Betzir. Lamali Mechza, Afilu Batzir Mi Mechza Nami. Vahani mashu, put it together, and you get palga of palga, and that's not bottom. Okay, so ima up till mechza. Or you know what? Ibaitem, and maybe it really does mean mechza. But tumat amaretz is the rabbanon. And tumat mashkin is the rabbanon. So maybe only beruba goes a rabbanon. But palga of palga, lo goes a rabbanon. Reb Shimon begam li olamer loker beima menika, mina ovei kovavim, eno choshesh, shema bena shalakarat haya nichnas, Latoch Edro, sorry, Acharati. Hay Nichnas Latoch Edro, Vera'ata Mafkirot Minikot, Vishaina Mafkirot Minikot. Eno Koshesh, Shema Benashal Zo, Baloetza Zo, or Shema Benashal Zo, Baloetza Zo. Omrev Nachum Mishpederal, Hilchatab Akulai Pirkin, Barmi Plukta, Omrev Shesh of Hoof, Amina Kinayim Vashaki Rav, Omala Shmaita. Makes no sense. Hay, Lima Resha. Miflag Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Akiva. Ella the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But I need Rav to tell me that. Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanoki. Ella what? He's referring to Shem Gamliel. There is a machloket, Vibraita. Ella is going to Rabbi Yosef ben Amishulam. Rav already paskin. Doma Rav, Hilchot Rabbi Yosef ben Amishulam. Ella is referring to a Sa'ar Balmum. It's a machloket, Zakavi ben Ma'alalel. And the Rabbanan. Liyo Elam, and the Shem Gamliel. Vakamashmon. The bright Allah flukta he. Like even the Omar Rav, Yechta Bekulei Pirkan, Barmi flukta. Why did he have to say Allah Rav Yosef Ben Amishulam? Ah, because the Omar Yechta Bekulei Pirkan, the Lo Omar Yechta Rav Yosef Ben Amishulam, you might have thought that the reference was to Rav Yosef Ben Amishulam. Ah, you'll say, nah, couldn't be. Why would he call that Kula Pirkin? Because Rabbi Yossi said two different things. But as far as Shimon Gamliel is concerned, a Plukta de Braita is a Plukta. Therefore, Hashmina Lach Rabbi Yossi. Now we understand that what was he referring to, Bekula Pirkin? Arab Shimon Gamliel Koi. And therefore the Plukta de Braita, Lav Plukta. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. We're holding today on Daf Chof Gimel in Mesechus Becheres. Yesterday we got up to the two dots, and we were talking about the Shaila of Tuma, whether a Tuma can be mitoreret after it was bottled. We saw that there is a machlokis here. Everybody's made it that Tuma is Ma'er Tuma. But Abaye holds that only Tuma is Ma'er Tuma, not the same Min which is Tohar, to be Ma'er the Min which was Tameh, which was Nisbatla, that we wouldn't say. Well, it's the Seder. Yeah, but it's time. So today the Gemara adds like this. If it's correct to say that Lamaisa, the Tuma is not bottle, literally when it becomes bottle, because as Rabbi Yirmiyah said yesterday, that's Leishano. I just turn it off. Thank you much for your time. Since Rabbi Yirmiyah said that you can't mix it with Kedera, so obviously he holds that the Tumah is actually here. That's the case. Why does it say that Eifer Kosher, Shinizari the Eifer Nikla, another place where you can have the issue of Bitul Bereit, is with the Eifer of the Paraduma? You have Eifer of the Paraduma, which would be Matame. And now it's mixed together with regular Eifer Mikla. Eifer Mikla is the word that we use for any other type of Eifer. Hochinacharo, Matame. You follow the robe, then Iruba Eifer Mikla, lo Matame. If you have the robe of Eifer Pora, so it'll be Matame. But if Lamaisa, most of the Eifer here is Eifer Mikla, so it will not be Matame. Now, the Shaila is, if the bittel of the Eifer, of the Hora, in the Eifer Mikla, only means that it's Nitbatel in the sense that there's no way that I can actually be Nogea in it, because I have to go according to the road. And there's no way I can say, therefore, that my Nogea was in that Eifer Pora. But if I could isolate the Eifer Pora,
Still exists.
So if it still exists, why wouldn't it be Matame Diba Masa? Iruva, we should say, it should be at least Yamatuma Kalanda Isitami. If you're going to tell me that the tomb is never really bought, so then if that's the case, Nihi Diba Magalo Matame Diba Masa. Even if it won't become Tome Diba Maga, it should at least be the Tame the Masa, because when it comes to Masa, the Maisa, the Tuma is here, and I'm carrying it. There's no din that it all has to be present in one piece. And this is the Gemara, Yitzmar Allah, Omer of Yisri B'chadina. Indeed, Tohar Melatame the Masa, of the Melatame the Masa. Lamaisa, what's your kasha? It says Dafka on the very thing that you're asking from the Mishnah in Torah, that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chanina said the Mishnah doesn't mean that it's not Matame at all. It only means it's not Matame to the Maga, but ain't a tsunami. The Tuma is present. Wait a minute. What about the Maimer of Rav Chisda? That you can have a Nevela that would become Betela B'shchut. She'i Evshan and Nevela, she'te'a Teshakuta. this here we're talking about now, this Yekshar is Lechora, not the correct Kirsa, the Rashi. This is, it's not really part of what we're trying to explain over here. But the case is, if you have, let's say, a Chatich of Nevela, it falls into two Chatichas. It's both of the right. Now suppose the whole thing is ground up. So now, the din is that the Nevela will become bottle to the Shchuta, and it won't be Mitzami anymore. Okay, the question is what this Yevshon the Nevela Shchias, the Shchuta, Raji says it's just a, it's a shibush of the Gersos. We shouldn't say it over here. So now, the Shaila is, according to what you just said, Nihid the Magal on the Tame, the Tame the Masa. Since Bito, your tiny, never means that I'm the Batal, that it shouldn't be there. Bito means that I don't have access to it. But the whole point of Masa is that I don't need access to it. So if that's the case, why would it not be Matana Marasa? Omarle, Aton Berachista Masnisallah, Anan Berachia Masninallah, Tani Rebichia Nevela Vishkuta, Betelot Zo Bizo. Each one is bottom on the other. Rabbi Yachim Rabbi Chanina said, that means Tar Melatani Bimaga, Ava Matani Bimasa. So what's the problem? That's how I understand it. Each one, in terms of Maga, it's bottom. In terms of the dinam masa, it's not possible. So, okay, but what about our sugya? Our sugya is just the fairish, the Mishnah. Well, it's not. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Behema Gasa, Sheshafar Chararat Dam, Harezu Tikavir Nitzaram and Abuchora. So, Lechora, we said we have a contradiction in the din. If it is a blood, this Chararat Dam, and he needs Kvura on it, that's a dinam before. So then how could Rukhiya say that ain't a matana lova maga vlova masa? And we asked yesterday that, okay, we explained that when we're talking about Bito Baroid Noguba, it's no skira. Indeed, it won't be matana because the Charor is down, is vocal. I don't understand, but now you're saying that Bito is shy of three Masara. Which means that the Tuma hasn't disappeared. The Tuma is here. If the Tuma is here, then when it comes to Masa, it should be Mitami. Therefore, I ask you, am I? Nihi de Bamagam of Mitami. The time of the Masa. Because Masa, the point of the difference between Maga and Masa is that Maga needs access to the Tuma, right? The point is that I have to come and I have to be able to point to the Tuma. Here's the Tuma. And at the touch, that which I point to. The whole point of Bittul is that I can't point to that. So I can't be Matami the Maga. But if you're telling me that even in the case of Bittul, the Tumah doesn't really become Bottle, it's just that there's more of the other thing in the middle, there's no way for me to be Mochi that Tumah. So, but isn't that the whole point of Masa? Masa is saying that as long as that amount of Tumah is here, and you are carrying it, you're Tumah. So I become like the mayim that comes into contact with it, and I'm a murder to them. So why would it not be Mitami? Tuma is a completely different issue.
Why?
Tuma is a different issue. You say because the tuma, it's under the whole point of tuma is usually that it's a Mitami, even a tiny bit. But the shak say normally the dinam of bitzel for tuma. I take one drop of water, I have to be Matame and an entire swimming pool with it. There's no such thing as Bittul. The only point over here is that since it doesn't have what to be Matame, there's no way now for its tumor to come out, I can't come in contact with it. The moment that it'll come in contact with something, then there can have me, it will be Matame. That's what the Gemara is saying in this swimming. It's not Bittul in the sense of disappearing. That's a question. I said yesterday, you read through the sites to see what the Gabi is. He was quiet. He didn't know what to say because it seems to attack over here our whole approach. And we started off yesterday with a Gemara. That's how we got into this whole thing. We started off with a simple mission, something which is tikaver, and it's tura mina bechera, And we said that the reason for the Kfura is to be mefarsim that has a din of a blood, but nonetheless it's not metame lo b'maga lo b'masa. And Rabbi Yochanan said the reason was because of bitul b'raya. It's enochinami, it is a blood mahalia. But since there's so much other material over here, this has been a bitul b'raya. But now we just realized that actually that doesn't explain masa. It explains varna. So Ishtik, he was clear what to say. So he said to him, Vilma, maybe over here it's really different. Because Shani Hachad Ivala Tumas Sulucha. Maybe the reason over here is not because of Bittul, but it's because it's actually considered to be not Matame because it's decayed. It's something that has decayed, has deteriorated. Such as this Charor HaZdam is no longer Matame. Now we know that there's a major machlokes about what is considered to be something that's bechlal not roy anymore, but it shouldn't be considered to be its original state. The Torah says lekelev tesh lekunato, which is mashma that as long as it's royal lekelev, so then it's considered to be still the din of an neveima. But what isn't royal lekelev anymore? You can't be mekayem lekelev. It's bechlal not an neveima. Which is much, but now once something loses its edibility for an animal, so it's no longer considered to be bichlal, the insert of vela. It's just decayed chemicals, basically. So if that's the case, we could time it, that over here, the truth is, it also is like ger asher b'sharefet itznev. And we'll see that there's a machlokas whether the din is that once it's not roy for a human, it's unedible for a human being, it's no longer considered to be tamei, or whether it's only if it's no longer edible for a kelev, it's tamei. If the din of the year is that it becomes surucha and it's not edible for a human, charor hazdam is not edible for a human, then okay, then that's the reason it's not matami lo b'magen lo b'masa. But the problem is, not everybody holds it that. Indeed, it was Rabbi Yochanan, you remember yesterday, who was the one who said that it's Eino Metame. We said yesterday, Rabbi Chiya was the one who said Eino Metame Lo B'Maga V'Lo B'Masa. It was Rabbi Yochanan who said Eino Metame. Why? Mishum Bitul Berov. So really, our problem over here was with Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Because why wouldn't it be Metame B'Masa now that you're saying that the Bittul Berov is not a real Bittul of the Tumah because it's able to be Metame the moment it comes in contact with something that makes it present again? So here it gets more complicated because it happens to be the Machlokas of Tumah, whether it's considered to be Saruah at the point of Lager or Saruah at the point of Kelev, is itself a Machlokas by part of Rabbi Yochanan. And unfortunately, it's Rabbi Yochanan who gets it to grow. Because if you hold any chalabar poda, yomer tuma chamura ad leger, the tuma kala ad lekelev, so lo chazim leger. Now you know all over, the word tuma chamura means that which is metame itself, is an abatuma. Tuma kala always means tumas erkli. Right? So in other words, the Pashtus and the way indeed that Tosfos learns this sugyeh is that when it comes to Tuma of Eichlin, in other words, that it should be a Rishon of Tuma, Sheni with Tuma, an Eichlin can never be an Abba Tuma. So for that, in order for it to be a bottle, it needs to be inedible even for a Kelet. Our Pada holds that when it comes to Tuma Tamura, meaning that it should have a dinam and a veil to be an Abba Tuma, it's sufficient if it's not something that you can feed to a ger, because the Torah says to give it to the ger. However, Rashi learns in this sugya of Nevela, what is considered to be Tumah Kala and Tumah Chamura. Surprisingly, he learns that Tumah Chamura means Tumah Masa, and Tumah Kala is Tumah Maga. Now the Tumah Maga over here, we understand, is not going to apply forget about the issue of whether it's Abigail or Abigail. It's not going to apply because it's futile, and there's no way for me to come into contact with it. So therefore, the way to read the Gemara like Rashi would be, hey, Nikola Barparu holds when it comes to Tumas Hamura, meaning the Tumas Masa. It loses its Tumas Masa once it's not edible for humans. So fire the case in the Mishnah. It's not edible for humans, if I wrote it down. But Tumakala is Enochinami. That's the not Roy Perkelev over here. It is Roy Perkelev. But nonetheless, that doesn't bother me because when it comes to Makala, namely Maga, anyway, I can't be negated. This is but. But according to Rabbi Yochanan holds Achazovi Achazo Adlekela. That doesn't matter whether we're talking about Tumakala or Tumas Hamura. The din is that it does not lose its shame Tumas Nevela, according to Tosfos. Or it's shame Tumas Masa Nevela, according to Rashi. Abakela. Obiyo Akazio Bakela. Over here, it should be Mitame the Masa. Yet, Rabbi Yochanan said it's not Mitame the Masa, you see? So here we have Rabbi Yochanan claiming that Tuma actually isn't really bought. The Tuma can reappear. But Rabbi Yochanan, who was the man the Omar, who said Mishum Bitul Barov Nagabu, in the case of Harara's Dam, said that that's true, even though it's Enamatame, Lobimagav, Lobimagav. So how can Rabbi Yirmiyah claim that something that's Batel, the Tuma actually remains? And it's just waiting until now it can be Misera to touch something that will be Misame. And then Rabbi Yochanan would be completely inconsistent. Gosh, indeed that is a problem for Rabbi Yirmiyah. Because Rabbi Yirmiyah seems to take for granted that the Tuma isn't Batel. Nobody else took that for granted. Goof.
Harara is
Roy Lekelev? Harara is Roy Lekelev, true. Goes poking around the garbage trails all the time. Now, Gufa, let's take a little bit closer look at the Machlokes Bar Poda and Rabbi Yochanan. Bar Poda Omer Tuma Chamura Ad Leger, Tuma Kala Ad Lekelev. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Achazo V'Achazo Ad Lekelev. Now, Bar Poda says, look, my time at Bar Poda is a very good project. Lotofu kol nevela leger asher b'sharecha tizden. So in other words, if it's ruia leger, the Torah is putting these two together to tell me if it's something that you can give a ger, then that's what the yisur lotofu kol nevela is going on. Ha ruia leger kriya nevela, but once it's ena kriya leger, ruia leger ena kriya nevela. Once it's no longer roi for a ger, then it's not called a nevela. Not a goy. You're not allowed to give gifts to. It means a ger tosha who eats the nevelas, but who you have a bechiyah to take care of. Right? That's called a ger who's erichol nevelas, or is a ger tosha. The edah. So what does Rabbi Yochanan do with that? Before the pasuk is saying very clearly, it has to be roy leger. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that comes to tell me a case, the Mu'ute Echa the Yisricha Min Korah, that if Lechatchila it wasn't something that was suitable for a ger. In other words, let's say that you have an animal that is sick and its limbs are decaying, it has gangrene. So now, if that thing dies, those gangrenous limbs are not going to be matan. But that's because at the time that there was supposed to be a chalois nevela, it was already something that was disgusting. So the chalois nevela never took place. But tainus Rabbi Yochanan, once it became a nevela, now we don't deal with the issue of gear. Now we have this question, what does it take to take off the shame b'chlal b'zer from it? Then it would need to be possible miraculous killer. Whereas Bar Poda says, I don't understand. Why do I need a pasuk for that? I mean, something which is Yisricha Mi'ikara, Lo Tzricha Kro. I don't need a pasuk for that to be Mamayedet L'Merutze. That's Afra B'Almu. I mean, why would I look at that as something that has been the claw of the limbs of an animal? It's just, it's like offer. It's basically decayed. It's not meat at all. So Mamela, the pasuk is left to tell me that even after it's got the Tumen Avela on it, nonetheless, the moment that it's Eino Ru'iyah L'Ger, it loses the shame of Tumas Nevela. That's the finish of the pasuk. So we ask now, take a look at the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rehim Agassus Yishofach Aroras Dam Arezo Tikaver, V'nifteret Min HaBechorah, and Reb Chiya says, Eino Metana Lo B'maga V'lo B'mata, and the Kfura over here is no gain of the din of letting people know that this behemoth was Nifteres Min HaBechorah. But certainly, this is not something that requires really worrying about its status. It's Batel HaMavotah for some reason. So the Rambam of Yochanan, what is that reason? The reason is Mishum Bitul B'Rov Magupa. Now the problem is Mayari Mishum Bitul B'Rov. Typically, Deloyes Chazi Lager Klal. Why does Rabbi Yochanan, you just explained the Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Bar Father, right? And you said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, why does the Torah say, Lager Asher Kisharecha? To tell me that if it starts off not Roy Lager, it doesn't get it in an event. So over here it started off as a Chararas Dam. So why does Rabbi Yochanan say the reason it's not Matambi for Mas is because of Bizal Barov? He should have said the reason it's not Matambi for Mas is because they know Ruya. Because it's a Chararas Dam. Or there's a contradiction in the way you claim Rabbi Yochanan understood the pasuk. Answers in the Gemara. No. It is called Roy Lager over here. Because originally it was Roy Agavime. Since this Chararas Dam was part of its mother initially, so at that point it's all considered to be bottled to an animal. And this is an animal, it's a perfectly useful animal, so that it becomes an avail if it dies. Afterwards, when it's separated out, okay, so then we take a look at it and we say, is it Roy Lakilas Keller? Yes, then it hasn't lost its shame of being a behemoth. But Enochinami, if you would have had a case where it was Srucha Lakaksila never being part of something that was Shayach to Akila, then Enochinami, Rabbi Yochanan would say, I wouldn't need to come on to Bitul Barov. Yeah, at that point it becomes a separate entity, but in the process of the initially, this piece was considered to be a vlog.
But at that time,
not really nothing to do with Tyra or Tuma. The Tyra is whether it's Shayach to being called a Nevela. If I look at this thing and I say, if this thing dies, is it a Nevela? Yes. Mashenkin, if I look at a limb that's Masrakas and I say, if this thing dies, is it a Nevela? The answer is no. Because over there, it's not part of the mother, it's decaying, even on the mother. But over here, its status was, as long as in the mother, that it was in fact an animal. It's not similar to the case of the Sirachas Mikara. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Son Hassan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Sir Tahor, Shenafala Tocho Mayim Koshu Tameh. Now this seems to be direct from the Gea Ar Sugya. I start off, I purchase in a store without a hefshah, so I don't know whether it's tahor or tameh. I purchased seer. Seer was the fish brine we had yesterday. Now, I always have a chashash that the fish brine is going to be watered down. If it's watered down, and I buy it from a store without a hefshah, meaning from an amaretz, then the problem is, if it's rov mayim,
then it'll be matami. So what do I do to make sure that it's not a problem? I'm a shikubamai. That way I make sure that it's completely tahor, right? Because even if it would be rubamai, I could be mashikin and I could take off the tuba. Now, the problem is, if a little bit of water falls into it, nafal, it's also mayim kosher, a little bit of water falls into it, and now it becomes tummy. Why should that be? Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baruch Hu, because the shaila is like this. If an amoritz waters the stuff down, and he waters it a little bit less than the robe, right? So he has a deep tear. The moment that I put in water, so now that original water was bottled. Since it's bottled, our shaka doesn't help it. The moment that water falls in, it now becomes rogue. Once it becomes rogue, we say that now it was misera and is natame. So that turns out that if you add a little bit of clean water, at least if you all like reviewing, if you add a little bit of mayim tahirin, according to Abaya, you'll have to say that the problem over here is the addition of mayim to the namorah, because otherwise when you're tahir is not tahir, too much. But according to Jeremiah, you pour in a little bit of water, and the strangest thing happens, all of a sudden it becomes tummy. You're taking badat's water after you went to the mikveh, you're pouring it into your seer, and you were just matami. Amazing situation. Now, if somebody asks you, where do you find a case where you use perfectly tahor water to add to your kugel, to your herring, so you're matami the whole herring, would be such a case. A strange case. But what do you see from here? You see that our hashash is that indeed the normal seer is watered down. And furthermore, our assumption is that it's watered down to beneath rose. So look here, because otherwise it doesn't, the case doesn't work. So Omar Rabak and Omar Abbas, Zoto Merit, you know what this implies? It implies the implication is that they'll go up to halfway and they'll water it down with the water. Wait. Well, how do you get half? Even if it was slightly less than half, it would also be because let's say that they would water it down to 49%, right? So now, if I add 1% more, I now have mefta mefta. But mefta mefta is in bottle. I shouldn't need to add in row. You're saying they would water down up their head. So mamela, when I make it row, I'm not going to be more than two. Why not to make it row? As long as I make it mefta, the mead is no longer bottle because mefta mefta is in bottle.
Something was bottle. Up to
mess, it's no longer bottle.
Why shouldn't
you
have to go over
that one? No. There's no din of chazak on it. There's a din of, the thing is there. Remember, we're saying the tomb is kayan. So, okay, so now it's not bottle anymore. So, would it look up? He would fall into mess. So, would it become bottle? So, now we have, it's very cute because it's playing a game on words over here in the city. Butts and mess if it's here, right? So lomali mefta afilu butzir mi mefta nami v'ani mashlag li palga. Palga lo batu, obviously 50% is not considered to be batu. Okay, fine, I don't mean mefta, but up till mefta. Ad mefta, 49.55%. Well, you know what? Could be taka mefta. Because maybe what we're assuming is that since the whole din of tumas hamaris is the Rabbanan, I mean, you have a real confusion over here, drabonans and drabonans, because the din over here of the tumas amaoris is drabonan. And the tumas mashkin is also drabonan. The ruba goes a rabonan, the paga lo goes a rabonan. The rabonan are not going to be akidekat machmir on their halacha drabonan that you have to have a robe. They would allow even half and half, they wouldn't make it there. So that may, we were being maybe very meduyak in saying ad mef. Fine. Now obviously this would only be true according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Because according to Abaye, who holds that Mayim Taharim would never be Ma'ir Atuma, the only way that the case would work is if I was used Mayim of an Amoret. And now I would say that now there's sufficient Mayim in here for the whole thing to become Tame. Even though Tzir isn't Tame, but this is now water. It became Tame because the Mayim Tameim, according to Abaye, who argues on Rimi Yirmiya yesterday, Tuma is in Din Mereres. Tuma.
His name is Tzir, and
that's not a problem. We trust Tameharas. We just don't trust the Megabe Tuma. It's a special deal. We have to think big by tomorrow. Normally, in Amaris, I mean, you want to eat meat in Amaris' house, it's 100% reliable. A Yid tells you, I'm serving you kosher meat, you're going to be kosher, and they serve you something great. The only place where we made a gezera, and it's only a gezera, remember, Rov Amaris and Maasim, but we made a takana, okay? The two places where that's called Chabirut. Chabirut deals with two issues. One issue is the Tuma, that I'm makbid enough on the Tuma of the Taira so you can rely on me that I won't be Mitami. And the other is in the din of Meister, taking off Tumas and Meister. It's the Gabi, those two are lockers where we have a concept of Chabirus.
Just the Heilige Commissioner.
Brother Shimon.
Thank
you. Brother Shimon ben Gamliel Leiman. Before, we had, no, this is fine, just pour it out. Pour it out and we'll be good. It doesn't need washing, it just needs pouring. Before we had with Rabbi Akiva, the machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua, as to whether lactation is considered to be a raya that this animal has given birth, and we said that, listen, Shayach defines behemoths that lactate even though they haven't given birth. Fine. But what about if the animal is not just lactating, she's nursing? There's a little ego here behind her, or a little shetzala when it comes to the kevis. Thank you very, very much. So are you going to say, not only is she lactating without having given birth, but she managed to find herself a calf? I mean, that's already taking it a little bit further.
The lactating animals with other animals?
It's shy, but it's certainly very, very rare. They try, you know, there's trick, and that often happens when a sheep's mother dies. In order to be able for the child to survive, it's difficult to go nursing with baby bottles. They try that, but the best thing to do, they have a little trick. The shepherds, they skin the mother, and that they do with another calf. I'm sorry, that's a different case. And that's a different case. When they have two, they have a calf that died of a mother, and they have another one that doesn't have a mother, but skin the calf, wrap the skin of the dead calf on the other animal, and sometimes they can fool the mother into being macabre the other one because of the smell. But I mean, there's even cases where other men are, you know, will allow even another species to adopt.
Have there been cases of men who've been black?
Wolves, the old wolf case. What do you mean? Look at Rome. In any event, if you buy, says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, you buy an animal that is nursed from an akum. So there you don't say, in Zayshin Shema b'nashel acheres hayah, that not only is this animal lactating as the miyad, but it also managed to pick up a child from another animal and adopt it as its own. In this case, you could say vadai, it gave birth, and the next one is not considered to be a problem of b'chol. Nichnas l'toch edro, man walks into his own flock, and he sees there are matkirot menikot, v'sheinan matkirot menikot. He has sheep from a year ago, and he has sheep from this year. Every sheep now has given birth. Now, does he have a right to assume that the sheep that gave birth last year, and this one is not its first child, this child that is following it is its child, and that the other sheep that gave birth the first time, that's its child? Or does he have to be afraid that they switch children? Maybe. B'nei Chameis or B'nei Achayim? No, says the Mishnah. Ein Cheshin Shem Avnashah Zo Bala Eitzel Zo, Shem Avnashah Zo Bala Eitzel Zo. By humans, you have to be afraid they get you confused in the hospital. But by the sheep, the mothers are smarter than that, and they know which ones are there, and the better than even the calves are smarter than that. So Mimela, that's not a chashash. Omer Nachman, Mishmei the Rabba, the other case is Omer Rab. Hilchos Avakule, Pirkin Bar Miklus. The halacha throughout this parak is like every halacha mentioned in the Mishnah, except for those where there's a machlokas. They're over there, and I'm not asking it. Omer of Sheshes, Amina Kinayim B'Shakri Rav Amal HaShemayitzah. I would assume that Rob was half asleep when he said this, because it's so ridiculous. I don't know what he's talking about.
What did he say? I don't
know what he said. Who? Rob?
Rob
was saying that the halacha, the Mishnayot, we have a number of Mishnayot in this parak, which is a very rare situation, which every Mishnah is introduced by somebody. So we don't have a Stam Mishnah. We have Mishnayot in which it says who the Tana is. If you take a look, you know, let's take a look from the beginning, so because we're going to keep referring to all of these Mishnayot. The first Mishnah, we have Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, right? With the machlokas of whether you can rely on Eiz Bat Shmata, or you have to be Chayesh Latinus. The next Mishnah we had was the one about Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that we've been discussing, which is the Charor Azdam. What the din is of Charor Azdam? The next Mishnah we just had was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who talks about not needing to worry that it picked up a blot from another animal. Look ahead, because we're going to be referring to the next Mishnah too. The next Mishnah begins with Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam. Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam says two things. It's important to know this, that you're allowed to use the knife of your shave off the before, to be foreshafting it. And also, you could check for a mum also by being Talish, the Tsar, which you might think is an Isra of Giza. So he comes on to say there's no Isra of Giza for those two issues. And the last Mishnah is Akavi ben Mahalalo. Akavi ben Mahalalo is matir, the din of Sarot, of a Bechor Balmum, that had fallen off before, and then you were matir afterwards as a Balmum. Fine. That means we have every single halacha in the parak is introduced by someone's name. There's no Mishnah that just says a din.
What's wrong with this?
There's nothing wrong, but Rob came along. He said, look, this is an unusual parak. You want to know. Normally a Mishnah says something, that's the halacha. In this parak, the halacha is like all of the cases where there's no machlokas. As long as there's no machlokas, then you should know that even though it says a name, you can rely on that Mishnah. So Rav Shesha says, well, I guess Rob was in one of his slumbering modes when he said that. And finally, the reason Rav Sheshes always says this about Rav. He never says it about anybody else. And it's interesting that Rav Lamaisa held that you're not allowed to sleep at all during the day. So he says you're only allowed, like David HaMelech, to be misnamim, like a sus. So it could be Rav Sheshes was saying, listen, Rav never allowed himself a little bit of a rest. So he used to, you know, dream up a little bit, like David HaMelech was misnamim. Mistama, this was said during that period. I mean, because he wouldn't stop learning, even though he was half asleep, because he held you weren't allowed to stop. So Mamela, this must be the product of that period. So he was sleeping, or sleeping, because, I mean, what is he talking about? There is no such case. Tell me which Mishnah he was referring to. On the first Mishnah, Aresha. That's a machlokas. The Mishnah opens with a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So you can't think, I'm not touching like any Mishnah with a machlokas. Okay, so it's not the first Mishnah, right? Now, is it the second Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, about the Charor Azdam? I need Rav to tell me that look is like Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, and I have a klal gadol, Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, Mishnah's Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov is kavin nakim. Kavin nakim means there's not much of it, but what there is clean, meaning it's 100% reliable. So he couldn't be coming to tell me a klal that I know. Ella what? He's going on the case of Rav Shimon Gamliel that we just had? That you don't have to be cautious that an animal picks up its friend's animal and nurses it. It happens to be that there is a machlokas, as we're going to see very soon in the Brisa. And he said, I'm only postulating where there's no machlokas. So Mifla Kligi Brisa, there is a machlokas. Mifla Kligi Brisa. Ella, what was he going on? He was going on the next Mishnah of the case of Rav Yossi ben Hamashulam, that Rav Yossi ben Hamashulam was matir, the taking off the sa'arot, when you do the shechita to check for a mum. That can't be, because Rav is a separate mimer of Rav that says, Omer Rav Chodazimba. So Omer Rav, he'll say Rav Yossi ben Hamashulam. So he couldn't possibly be saying, look, I want you to know I'm fasting like every place with his own machlokas, and then turn around, I'll look like Rav Yossi ben Hamashulam, but that's the only place. So it can't be Rav Yossi ben Hamashulam. Ella, what's going on? The last case, Sa'ar Balmum, is a machlokas in the Mishnah between Akavim and Nahalal and the Rabbanim. She's not referring to that. So clearly, he was half asleep when he said this mimer. This doesn't make any sense. So, Mitnifak, Ligiv, Akavim and Nahalal of Rabbanim. The Gemara answers Rav Sheshit by saying, Le'elam and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Indeed, Rav was focused on the Mishnah we just read, about an animal that is nursing, can be assumed to be nursing its own child. And what's I? There is a machlokas in the Brisa. Kamash Malon, the Brisa lafukta. What it's coming to tell me is that when you find a machlokas in a Brisa, that is not considered to be a machlokas at all. So in other words, you can ignore the machlokas we've shown him, really.
So Brisa against the Mishnah or the machlokas against
the Brisa? There's a machlokas whether this is Nogea only our Sugya. Which, I mean, I have no idea how one can learn that, because it's saying Hakamash Kalan. I mean, the only Chiddush is to tell me that. Otherwise, you want to pass him like a Shimon Gamliel. Say, I love Rav Shimon Gamliel. You say, I love the Shimon Gamliel. You're trying to teach me something by saying it in this funny way, right? What you really mean is one case, Rav Shimon Gamliel, instead of coming right out and saying, you mean Rav Shimon Gamliel, you say that I pass in like cases where there's no machlokas. And the Gemara says, Beferish, that's to teach me. A kamashma is to teach me something. Kamashma means to give me the mashmos. That was that a bright is not plukta. The pashtus is that that's meant to be a klal in Psar. That if I have a Mishnah, and then there's a bright that argues on that Mishnah, and it doesn't have any dinim of my stam v'akak machlokas, or anything like that, this is you ignore the bright when it comes to the Mishnah. Right, but we don't have a klal and psak necessarily. Here he's saying this is a klal and psak. Ignore a brisa.
What about
brisa
made a different hand? What is it about this case that makes the
The question is, he's looking for a place to teach us this halacha. Okay. So this parak has a fascinating a uniqueness to it. But if I want to teach you how to look at the relationship between a named Mishnah and a Brisa, a named Mishnah is effectively a Stam Mishnah. As long as there's no machlokas in it. It's tremendous fitted. Even though I know that there's machlokas in a Brisa. And indeed, this does not seem to be consistent throughout Shastra's approach. It's why many learn that this, he was just saying it legabe ar sugya, but then legabe ar sugya is a meaningless thing to do. Then just tell me I love this like with Shimon Gamliel. Now, wait a second. Then, if that's what he means, then why did he have to pass in that I love this like with Yossi ben Hamashulam? You said yesterday, we can't be talking about the case of Yossi ben Hamashulam. Right? That can't be what he's coming to pass, because he says the Farish halacha is Rav Yossi ben Hamashulam. So what is he coming to talk about? Only the case with Shimon Gamaliel. But once he speaks about the case with Shimon Gamaliel, he certainly covers his bases for Rav Yosef and Amishulam, because there is no machlokas, not in the Braisa, not in the Mishnah. So when he's saying halacha for Rav Yosef and Amishulam, why did he have to say it? Kiman de Amarav, Yerushalakula, Pirchim, Bami, Plus, if he passed it anyway, that we go according to every Mishnah with no machlokas, so then halacha for Rav Yosef and Amishulam normally. Why did he need to say those words? What do you mean? He didn't really, except if he would have told you this halacha, he would have said, let's say, that Hilchos Bekula Pirkei, but he wouldn't have said separately that Hilchos Rav Yosef and Meshulam. What would I have thought Rob was referring to when he said Hilchos Bekula Pirkei? Rav Yosef and Meshulam, right? There's only one mission he could be referring to, because if when I, like I did originally, I came from the mission of Shimon Gamaliel, and I said, well, he couldn't have meant the mission of Shimon Gamaliel, because there's a machlokas in the Braisa. He must have meant Rav Yosef and Meshulam. The only reason I came to the conclusion that he really meant Rav Shimon Gamaliel is because he addressed Rav Yosef and Meshulam separately. So that's exactly the point. The reason he addressed Rav Yosef and Meshulam separately was in order for you to reach the conclusion that Hilchos Bekula Pirkei Levar Mitzvot was indeed a reference to Rav Shimon Gamaliel, which is the Hakamash Balam, that a bride is not considered to be Tlukta, succeed inside. E Amar Hilchos Bekula Pirkei, Blo Amar Hilchos Rav Yosef ben Meshulam, Hava Minad Rav Yosef ben Meshulam Koi. I would have thought that's exactly what he was referring to. I mean, why use such a crazy lashon? Hilchos Bekula Pirkei. I mean, what do you mean Bekula Pirkei? We should have asked him, why don't you just say Hilchos Rav Yosef ben Meshulam? No, because you see, Rav Yosef ben Meshulam, he said two things. He said one halacha about the shechita of a bechor to cut its sar, and one halacha about checking a balmum on a bechor, see if it's a balmum. Okay, so we would have thought that's what he meant by kulu pirkei. L'maisa, now that he says both, he says also that the, but if I would have done that, I would have said tuk to the price of tuk to, correct? I would have then assumed he's only positing like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. However, the case of Rav Shimon Gamaliel, indeed, I don't say a cloud that we should positing like it, because after all, there's a machlokes in the Braisa. Who's to say maybe I should positing like the Braisa? So therefore, I need to know separately, Ashmeinan. Halach Rav Yosef la Ashmeinan, Dan Rav Shimon Gamaliel Koi. That's why he mentioned separately the halachas like Rav Yosef and Meshulam. Now I know that the klal of Hilchos Bekula Pirkei is going on Rav Shimon Gamaliel, and it comes to teach me that Tlukta Braisa lav Tlukta hi. It comes good for to teach me that there is no machlokas where there's a machlokas in a Braisa. What the Braisa is, that we'll see tomorrow. But meanwhile we have a problem, no? How many things did Rav Shimon Gamaliel say? Is that called two? Now we've been saying it that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamaliel because it's two things? Because we didn't ask it before, we only asked it by when we thought it would have meant Rav Yosef and Meshulam. So why would we think that Rav Shimon Gamaliel is more two than Rav Yosef and Meshulam is two? But the point is, once he says the klal, obviously it includes Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. The question is whether it included Rav Shimon ben Gamaliel. The way we say it now, we have no problem with the word. The wording is Hilchos Bekula Pirkei, which includes two halachas, Rav Shimon ben Gamaliel and Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. And that indeed is Kula Pirkei. It's two out of four. I mean, that's pretty good. So Hilchos Bekula Pirkei. The problem is, we're saying, what would have been your havamina to think that he would be referring only to Rav Yosef ben Meshulam and not to Rav Shimon ben Gamaliel? Then why would he have called it Kula Pirkei? Isn't the fact that he calls it Kula Pirkei itself a riot, and it's got to be a reference at least to Rav Shimon ben Gamaliel as well? And on that, the Gemara answers, no, not necessarily, because I could have understood Kula Pirkei as meaning to halachas. But now that it's coming to tell me Kulu Pirkin includes both of Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yossi. Now it makes sense to say the Kulu Pirkin.
The broader application.
This is a broader application.
What is the literal translation of Kulu
Pirkin? This has other implications. The other implications are that the limud. So like this, we were learning the only reason that Rav said Hilchasa B'Kulu Pirkin, instead of coming straight out and telling me that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, is to teach me the din of the brisa, a kamashvan that puts the brisa left to. But now we have another reason that we could say the real reason is because he wants to talk about one klal on the whole parak. Not because he wants to teach us something. You see? The only point is that he's afraid someone will make a mistake and misunderstand what he meant about Kulu Pirkin. Now, mainly he says halacha is also like Rav Yossi ben Mishulam. But if you're a Talmud and you want to remember Rav's teaching on this parak, if you remember Hilchasa B'Kulu Pirkin, Levar Miplukta, that's all you need to remember. Because as long as you initially know that that's meant to be an application, both of Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yossi ben Mishulam, you're fine. Therefore, we can support an approach of the Rishonim, which would hold that the din of Plukta, the Brisa, Lach Plukta, is not a klal. It's just the way in which Rav is expressing himself in this paragraph, you see. So there is a ground for accepting that the Hokam Mashlon is not the tachlis of what he's saying. It's just agav in order to understand what he's saying here.
But that actually in the Brisa?
Maybe normally we would do, that's not a rule. It's just I'm excusing the way that I'm saying it, Levar Miplukta.
So he wasn't asleep.
He wasn't asleep. Yep. It does. Do we need it? Why is it two? It is an altar. If there were four cases, it would be four, but there's only two cases.
We're
going to
have a regular
shear
in the morning and see him in the evening.
Regular in the morning, see him in the evening.
A little later, though, because they're going to be leaving.
Something wrong? Oh, yes, for all your ships at sea, we have a great famous author among us. Rav Yaakov Kleiman did give out his book yesterday.
Yay!
DNA and Tradition. Tomorrow it is? On Shabbos Kodamos? Wow. Renaissance Hotel.
Mushroom.
Lovely.
Just fried juice on toast. Mushroom. Picture the whole.
Great.
Extremely impressive.
Lovely, lovely. Yeah. Ancient Hebrews and modern Jews. Beautiful. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's
like a genealogy.
The Kohanim. You know, it's so interesting that you come out today. I get a letter today from Yisrael Shechter. Remember Yisrael Shechter? Famous event. Very fine. I get a letter today